Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. This is one of the great letters in the New Testament, often called the Gospel of God. That's the whole book is. It's good news. It's news about salvation and the Christian life and the future and Israel and the church. And over in this letter, we see great and deep theological truths, while at the same time, we see the ways of making practical application. So it goes together. In this book, we're going to see deep theological truths, but then he's going to say, now this is how you live all this out. This morning, we're going to see, I think, one of the great sections in the Bible. It's Paul deals with the gospel, the good news message. We find his responsibility, and that's to make the message known to all people. He talks about his target. He says that it's the power of God unto salvation. As Steve Ashford said a while ago, Romans 1:16, not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. We want to be challenged. We want to be encouraged so that we can proclaim clearly the gospel message in this community as we study this section of God's Word. So may we learn from it this morning and be encouraged by it. Many of you know I trusted Jesus Christ when I was 19. It was one of the most exciting times, of course, of my life. There were a number of guys at that time who were also Christians, and together we sort of wanted to make an impact for Christ. I remember once there were several of us, we were going to go speak at this meeting. And as we were leaving, someone shouted out to us and said, make sure you give them the gospel. And the question would be, what do you mean? What is the gospel? What do we mean by give the gospel? We realize the gospel is the good news message from God about the message that we need to tell people. What is this message? And are you clear on the message? And are you ready to, as somebody might say, be sure and give them the gospel? Would you know what to give them? Well, this morning we're going to look at Romans chapter 1, verses 14, 15, 16, 17, this little section. We're going to see Paul dealing with the gospel. He talks about his responsibility to proclaim this message to the whole world. And he talks about it's the power of God to save to all who believe. So we want to know the gospel. We want to be ready to share our faith. Well, let's begin. What we've been doing is seeing, at this stage, we've seen basically the first 17 verses. That's called the introduction. Beginning next week, we're going to start getting into the problem, and then we're going to see the solution and all that. But the first 17 verses is more of the introduction. We see that Paul is an apostle. He's a man set apart by God, and he gets to take, his plan is to take the gospel message to the Gentiles. That's what he says. He's writing to the church at Rome. He had not been there. He wanted to come there. We've already seen from just our talking about the book, and if you go to the back of the letter, he says that his plan is to take up the offer and go to Jerusalem, give him the money, and then on his way to Spain, stop at Rome. That's his plan. He wants them to know that he prays for them. He says he wanted to come to them, and what he wanted to do was give them doctrinal and practical truths so that they could continue to grow as believers. That's a powerful book. In fact, toward the end, he says, I've written to you boldly on some special points, and it is pretty bold. When you think of Rome, I mean, you think of the capital of the world. This was a great city. The church at Rome had a great testimony. We already saw, I think, last week when he says that your testimony is spread throughout the known world. These believers were described as beloved saints of God. And that's the way we can describe ourselves. We are beloved of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves us. At the same time, we're saints, which simply means a set apart one. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're set apart in Christ and you are a saint. That's how the Bible describes us. So last time what we saw was the prayer. If you remember, Paul said that he thanked God for their testimony. He then said, I would love to come visit you. And then the third thing he says, and this is a key, he said, I want to use my gifts in your life to build you up, and you use your gifts in my life. And that's really the key. Not only is it the key in this letter, but it's the key of the New Testament. The bottom line is that each one of us in this room have spiritual gifts. We're to take the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to us. We're to use those in each other's lives so the body can grow. That's Ephesians 4:12. Equip the saints, do the work of the ministry so that the body of Christ can be built up. That's what he talked about last week. Well, this morning as we continue, we've come to, I think, one of my favorite passages ever in the Bible. And that's the whole idea of, he says, it's the dealing with the gospel. And what we're going to do this morning is do two things. One, we're going to get a little background concerning the gospel. We're just going to stop for just a little bit and talk about it, and then we're going to get into the passage. The second thing we do is as we go through the passage, we're going to see what Paul says his responsibility is, to whom does he need to go to, and what's the result of this gospel message. I think it's powerful. I think if every one of us in this room will stop and listen, what does the Bible have to say? What exactly is our message? Are we prepared to share our faith with other people? What do we say? How does it fit? Well, let's start. Let's start with the gospel message for a minute. Let's think about the gospel. When we say gospel, what does it mean? Well, literally the word gospel means good news. It's a Greek word evangelion. We get the word evangelize from it. That's the Greek word eulogion, which means to take good news. Now, it could be anything. It could be good news about a war that they won, and a messenger came running up and said, I bring the gospel, we won the battle. That's good news. But whenever you find gospel, good news in the scripture, it's talking about the good news message from God to man about salvation. The story of the Bible is very simple. Perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son Jesus Christ. That's the story of the Bible. And that's, in a sense, the gospel message. That's the good news about Jesus Christ. Now, where do you find the gospel? Well, the gospel is found in a number of places in the scripture, but there's one place that's very, very clear. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Don't turn there, but it's one of the clearest places because in that passage, it gives us two aspects of the gospel message. Now, let me remind you something. We're going to talk about the gospel message. We're going to talk about the response to the gospel message. First of all, the gospel message has two parts to it. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, For I deliver to you of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that's part one of the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ is God, came to this earth, died on the cross to pay for sins. That's the first part of the gospel. The verse goes on to say, He was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scripture. The second part of the gospel is the resurrection of Christ. Now you'll hear people say, Jesus died for you. That's only half the message. Jesus died and rose again. The gospel message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the message. And so if somebody were to say to you, give them the gospel is that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth, died on the cross, took our sins upon himself, paid the penalty of sins, was buried, and then rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. But there's a second thing, and that's the response to the gospel. What do we want people to do with that message? We want them to believe. We want them to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now, throughout the whole Bible, the message that saves people is always the aspect of faith. You put your faith in Jesus Christ who gives you eternal life. 154 places just in the New Testament. And you can, if you sometime want to, just start reading through the Bible. And every time you see faith, trust, or believe, that's the words. Greek word is pistuo. That's the verb. Pistis is the noun. It means faith or trust or to believe. If you go through and read your Bible, you will find 154 places just in the New Testament that it says you are saved by faith. Trusting in Jesus Christ. Think about this. John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe. Think about it. It says faith. Galatians 3:26. We're all children of God by faith. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is, for by grace you have been saved through faith. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, hears my word and believes. That's just five places. There's 154 in the New Testament that says you're saved by faith. So the gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ. He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And the response is to believe in Him for eternal life, to trust in Christ as your Savior. That's the gospel. Now, over and over, that's what we find. Now, this is our background. Now, with this in mind, let's see what Paul has to say about the gospel. He talks about his responsibility to proclaim it and the results. Now, remember the flow of the passage we saw last week, that he was saying that he prayed for them and he wanted to come see them and he was thankful for them and that he had planned to come a few times but hadn't been able to come yet. And so he wanted to see them. And then notice what he has to say. Look at verse 14. We touched on this last week, but look what he says. He says, I am under obligation both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, both to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He starts off and says, I'm under obligation. Some Bibles actually say, I'm a debtor. That means we have a duty, we have a responsibility, we have an obligation. He says, I am under obligation both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the foolish. You could put it this way. He says, I'm under obligation to all people. Now, when you think about this, he has a responsibility, this is how he saw it, to proclaim the gospel. To every person. Now, I want you to notice, he says, I'm under obligation to Greeks, barbarians, wise, foolish. I think when we think about it, there's two aspects of our debt, our obligation. One is we're under obligation to people. Number two, we're under obligation to God. Let's think about people first. In this passage, he says, I'm under obligation both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Now, in that day and time, the Greeks were, the people who spoke Greek, were they considered themselves the civilized people. And the people who didn't speak Greek, they considered them barbarians. barbarians. So all a barbarian is a non-Greek speaking person. When Paul writes this, he writes to Rome, who spoke Greek, and so he says, I'm under obligation both to the Greek speaking people and to the non-Greek speaking people, and to the wise, literally that word means do right, and to the unwise, those who do wrong. He says, I'm under obligation to the Greek-speaking people, to non-Greek people, to the people living right, to the people living wrong. It doesn't make any difference. I'm under obligation to all people. Now, why? You ever thought about it? He has a message. The gospel is a message that brings eternal life, is a message that takes people who are lost and going to be separated from God and brings them into an eternal relationship with God. The gospel is so important because it is the message that saves. He said, I have a responsibility to tell other people. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, we are also debtors to all people. We have a responsibility to take the message of salvation, starting first in this community and going throughout the world. Because we have a message that takes people who are going to be separated from God forever and brings them into a relationship with Jesus Christ forever. We have that responsibility. Think about it. All people are sinful. All people have fallen short of God's glory. There's not one thing we could ever do to measure up. Even if we try to do good things, the righteousness of man's filthy rags. How in the world can all of us who were going astray be brought into a relationship with God? It's through the good news message that God sent His Son to die for us and pay for our sins and offer us eternal life simply by faith. We are under obligation to every person to tell them that message. So the first aspect is to people. But there's a second thing. It's to God. We're an obligation to God. Why? What has He done for us? Well, He took us who were going astray, grabbed us in a sense, brought us to Himself, gives us eternal life. And not only does He give us eternal life, He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us the Word of God. He gives us fellow believers. He gives us possessions. He gives us everything. He says, now, I've set you on this earth, and you belong to Me. I have purchased you. What I want you to be is My ambassador. We're under obligation to God. Because we are His children. We are His set-apart ones. We are His servants. We have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You're not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. We belong to Jesus Christ. He says, hey, you belong to Me. You have an obligation to serve Me. We're debtors. We're ambassadors for Christ. Think of what He has done for us. So we're debtors both to God and to man. And do you realize we get to take this message? Not only do we have the privilege of telling people about Jesus, we have the responsibility because we are debtors. I read this story that talked about, you know, when we fished for fish, we took something that was alive and made it dead. When you fish for people, you take something that is dead and make it alive. Alive in Jesus Christ. What a privilege and responsibility we have. Paul says, I am under obligation to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Oswald Chambers says this. He says, Paul was overwhelmed with the sense of indebtedness to Jesus Christ, and he spent his life to express it. Are you overwhelmed at what you owe Jesus, who took all of us, who, as Jim said in his prayer, talked about that if we depended on ourselves, we couldn't even get to the front door. We couldn't get anywhere. All our righteousness is rags. We're dead in trespasses and sins. And by the grace of God, He reaches down, brings us to Himself, gives us His Son who dies and rises again for us, and says, I will give you life if you trust in Jesus. It's that simple. We're totally indebted to Him. It's all the grace of God. So, I'm under obligation, Paul says, the Greeks, the barbarians, both to the wise and both to the foolish. Do we see ourselves as debtors to take the message? Notice the second part. He says, so for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. He says, now, as far as I'm concerned, Paul says, I'm eager to do it. I'm eager to take the message, to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Now, when you see this word, I am eager, a lot of times we think like, I'm excited to do it. But the word eager really has an idea of, I'm really ready. I'm ready to do this. The idea there is ready, willing, and able. It's that idea that not only does he want to share the gospel, but he knows what to do. And see, when he says, as far as my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you, he's saying, I am ready and trained and able to make known this message. The word preach means to announce it, to make it known. We get to preach the message, to take the message. Now, let me ask you something. Are you ready? Do you know where to go? If somebody were to, even just out of the blue, walk up to you and say, can you tell me how to go to heaven? Would you say, well, no, let me call JB. Or would you say, well, let's go to the Scripture. Let me just show you, first of all, the Bible. Would you be able to do that? Paul said, I'm ready, eager to preach the gospel. We need to be ready. Think about this. Do you know the message? Are you prepared to share your faith? Are you looking for the opportunities? Are you praying for those around you? When we go out of this place today, they're going to be in that, what I call the fear of influence. There are people that you're around all the time. You either work with them, you live with them, you're in your neighborhood, they're in your house or in your dorm, they're all over. You work with them. They're people that we see all the time. There are people every day that we could say, do you know if that person's a Christian? You'd probably say, I don't know. I never even thought about it. Think about it. And recognize the fact that we have the obligation and we're to be ready to take the message to these people that we see every day. So are you prepared and are you ready? And notice what he says. I'm under this obligation, both to the Greeks, the barbarians, both to the wise, both the foolish. For my part, I'm ready, I'm eager, I'm trained to take the gospel, to preach the gospel, to take that good news message. And he says, to you also who are in Rome, I'm ready to do it. Now why should we be ready? Why is it so important? Verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He says, I tell you why. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the message that brings salvation. There is a message that saves. There are many messages that do not save. Let me give you some. If you live a good life, God will love you. That won't save you. You can't live a good life. Let me tell you, if you get baptized, if you can get baptized, that'll show that God, did you love God? Baptism wouldn't save you. It doesn't have anything to do with it. If you keep the Ten Commandments, just try to keep the Ten Commandments. First of all, nobody can ever keep it. Can't save you. Law can't save you. The law only shows you that you're a sinner. It doesn't give you the way to be saved. There are a lot of messages that do not save people. But there is one that saves. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes. It's the message that saves. Notice how he starts off the verse. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, when you hear the word ashamed, in English, we always think of like, well, ashamed, I'm kind of embarrassed. I messed up or something. I'm ashamed of what I did. This Greek word can mean that. It can mean to be embarrassed about something. It also can mean disappointed. Like something doesn't turn out the way you want it to be. Now he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I think it's a dual aspect here. I think he says, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. I'm also never been disappointed by the gospel. You know why? Because if someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, guess what they have? They have eternal life. God always keeps His word. Never going to be disappointed by the gospel. It's always exactly right. So he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not disappointed by the gospel. I'm not embarrassed by the gospel. Why? Because it's the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God. You might say, it's God's power that brings salvation. There are several words in the Bible that are translated power. There's a Greek word, exousia, which sometimes is translated power, which means the authority to do something. There's also another Greek word, dunamis, which we get dynamite from. That's the word here. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power. It's the explosive power. It's the power of God that results in salvation. See, we're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what God does. He's the Savior. He says, I'm not ashamed of this message. It's the power of God for salvation. The word salvation can be used a lot of ways in the Scripture, but in the context of this passage, he's talking about what we call eternal salvation. See, the people are either going to, and let me tell you something, all people are going to live forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again, and has conquered death. That's why the Bible can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Not one. Now, some people are going to live forever with Jesus Christ. That's called eternal life, and that comes by faith. Some people are going to live forever separated from God. The Bible calls that the second death. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. Sometimes we call it hell, but the Bible doesn't use that word. It uses lake of fire or second death. Now, why do people separated from God forever? Because they do not believe in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation, saving people so they won't be separated from God forever. They will be with Him forever. Now, I love the way this verse says it. It says, not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God's salvation, notice, to everyone who believes. There are two things there. Everyone and believing. It's to everyone. The gospel message is not just to some people. It is to every person. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. That's every human being. 1 John 4 says, in this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfactory payment for everyone. So the gospel message is for all people. In fact, 1 John 2:2 says He's a satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Now notice, the gospel brings salvation to everyone, and then it clarifies it, everyone who believes. That's the key. It's always faith. Salvation is always by faith. It's not by works. It's not by our goodness. It's not by what we do or try to do or promise to do or hope to do or think we're going to try to do. It is all simply by faith in Jesus Christ. Warren Wiersbe says it in a good way. He says, God does not ask people to behave. He asks them to believe. And I want you to understand something. You are saved by faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Faith always has an object. The object of our faith for salvation is Christ. He came, He died, He paid for sin, He rose again. We trust in Jesus for eternal life. It's not just faith, it's faith in Christ for eternal life. Now, some people get confused and they think it's the amount of faith you have or the sincerity of your faith that you have. That's not what saves you. It's the object of your faith. Let me tell you, I can put all of my faith, all the faith that I got, and I can put it in Buddha, and I'm not saved. He's not a Savior. I can be very sincere about it, and I'm still not saved. The object of my faith for salvation is not me, my good works, anything I've ever done, any other human being. The object of my faith that saves me is Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He rose again. He offers me eternal life. And when I trust in Him for salvation, I have eternal life. That's how it works. It's that simple. Don't add to it. Don't confuse it. It's just that simple. Now, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes. You'll find all the way through the Bible, it's by faith. Faith, faith. That's it. I'm ready to preach the gospel. Why? It's the power of God's salvation to all who believe. And if you want to, look at the Bible, go through it, and find faith and trust and believe, and you'll see that the way of salvation is always, it's always been that way from the very beginning all the way to the end. It's always by faith. He ends this little verse by going to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They began by taking the message, first of all, to the Jewish people. The church was Jewish at the very beginning, spread out to the Gentiles. Do you realize that it's at one point in time in the beginning of the church, there were some Jewish people who thought, we're not taking this message to Gentiles. And the truth is, it's for all people. Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Well, it's all for all people. He says, I'm a debtor. I'm eager. I'm not ashamed. We realize we're debtors for Jesus Christ to take the message. We're eager and trained and equipped. And we're not ashamed because it does exactly what it's supposed to do. There's one final thing. I'm going to go through it very quickly. Notice what he says. For in it, talking about the gospel message, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Now notice he says, for in it, and the it's referring back to the gospel message. He says, for in it, this gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, I want you to understand, we know that God is a righteous God. And understand this, that all people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And even if we try to do a bunch of good works, the Bible says our good works are just filthy rags. And so we can never measure up to God. We are unrighteous people. That's just the way it is. Now, something that most people don't understand is you have to be perfectly righteous to get to God and to be with God. He can't have unrighteousness with Him. And so the question comes down to, how can unrighteous people be righteous? Well, some people think, well, if you live a good life, try to live a good life, you can't live a good life. Even your righteousness is rags. So you're not going to ever be righteous. So how in the world can we, as fallen people, unrighteous, be righteous? The Bible tells us that God gives us His righteousness by faith. Notice what it says. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How? From faith to faith. He's basically saying it begins in faith and ends in faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God actually gives you His righteousness. Romans 4:5. To him who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Philippians 3:9, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness of God, which comes on the basis of faith. every one of us in this room, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has already given to you, deposited to you, His righteousness. That's why you have eternal life, and that's why you can be with Him forever, because He makes you righteous. And how does it come? It comes by faith. And so He says, for the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven, basically revealed from faith to faith. And then He says, and He quotes an Old Testament passage here, Habakkuk 2:4, saying basically the same thing. Notice, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4 is quoted three different times in the New Testament. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. All says the same verse. Each of the writers use it in a little bit different way. But in this passage, he's saying, the righteous man lives, has life. How? By faith. We're justified by faith. We'll see that when we get over into chapter 3, when he gets a lot more details. What is the flow of the passage that we've seen? Paul says, I'm under obligation. I'm a debtor to all people to take the message of salvation. He says, in fact, I'm even eager to do it. I'm ready. I've been trained. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to announce the gospel message to all people. He says, this message, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. It brings eternal life to all who will believe. And that God gives His righteousness. His righteousness has been revealed, and it comes by faith. These are incredible truths. And so as we, you might say, end this introduction, because starting next week, it's going to get sort of sad. I mean, I hate to tell you that. So please come back, but it's going to be sad because we're going to see how man turns away from God and man is a sinner. And so before we get to that, we have one of the great passages in the Bible this morning, that the gospel is the message that gives life forever. Well, let me give you some applications. I want you to see some things. The first one is this. Realize we have an obligation to proclaim the gospel to all people. We do. We're obligated to do that. We're obligated, first of all, to people because they don't know the way. They think it's good works. They think it's something else. We have an obligation to take to this world, this dying world, the message. Now, we're obligated not only to those people, we're obligated to God because of what He's done for us. And we need to be ready. As Paul said, I'm eager to preach it. We need to be trained and equipped. And if you don't feel trained and equipped, call me. I'll make sure you can get trained and equipped so that you're confident that you can share your faith, that you can pray for people, you can look for the opportunities. It has been said that evangelism is an overflowing of a glad heart in Jesus Christ. So be ready. Obligation to proclaim it. Number two. The gospel brings salvation to all who believe. That the gospel message is the death and resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Whoever will believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Three things. It's by faith, not works. It's all people, not some people, but to all people. And this brings the righteousness of God simply by faith. That's the message that saves. You have it. You have the message that will take a person from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. Simply by them trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior. There's the third thing. Be clear on the message we proclaim. Jesus Christ came, He died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. You are saved by faith. Two things. The message, the death and resurrection of Christ. The response, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Be very careful. 154 places, New Testament faith. Do not go out these doors and tell somebody that they're saved by repenting of their sins. You're not saved by repenting of your sins. Do not tell people you're saved by walking down an aisle and making a public profession. Do not say that you're saved because you asked Jesus into your life. Do not say that you're saved because you were baptized. Baptism will not save you. Asking Jesus into your heart doesn't save you. Walking down an aisle doesn't save you. Making Him Lord of your life doesn't save you. What saves you is your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. And when we walk out these doors, you have the privilege and responsibility to be clear, to tell people, to put their faith in Christ for eternal life. Now you may say, but Jimmy, I've heard repent of my sins all my life and walk down the aisle and give my life to Jesus. Do that. You look in the Scripture. Look in the Scripture, see what it says. You will not find repent of sins to be saved, be baptized to be saved, give Him your life to be saved, make Him Lord of your life to be saved. You will not find any of those in the Scripture. You will find over and over and over and over again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's that simple. So don't change it. But it's gone. But anyway, it's the one that we have that responsibility to be clear as we can be. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's that simple. May we realize our obligation to all people. May we be ready to announce the gospel, which brings salvation to all who believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a great day. Thank you for these truths. And Lord, as we look at these passages, thank you for the great message. And we realize we have an obligation to proclaim the gospel to all people. We're indebtors to you, indebtors to these people. So Lord, may we be faithful to do that. And Lord, we know the message, the gospel message, is the one that brings salvation to all who believe. All who will trust in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. They'll have the righteousness of God. And it is not by work, not by our works, but simply by faith. Lord, may each one of us in this room be clear. And Lord, I just thank you for a church that already has a clear gospel message, and that the people in this church have a clear message. And may we be faithful to go out and to tell them Jesus died and rose again, and he gives eternal life simply as a gift by faith. Lord, may we be ready to do that. Thank you for the people in this auditorium. Lord, thank you for this morning and the opportunity we have to know your word and to live it out. May we be faithful men and women. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.